In this chapter, we've been discovering faith in action. And the book of Hebrews is a book that really tells us that Jesus is better. And the first 10 chapters are a doctrinal survey of why, all the reasons why Jesus is better. And then chapters 11 through 13, we're given practically how we're supposed to take all the truth we learn in the book of Hebrews and put it into shoe leather, how to use it to live in light of the truth we learn about the finished work of Jesus Christ, to apply it to our every single day life. And the book of Hebrews chapter 11, in particular, we are given a survey of some heroes of the faith. We talked about some veterans for our country this morning. Well, we hear about some veterans of the faith in Hebrews chapter 11, and we've already heard and learned from several of their lives here. Wearsby said that the best way to grow in faith is to walk with the faithful. And we're taking a walk with some faithful men and women in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. And they teach us by their example how we're supposed to put our faith into action, how we're supposed to practice our own faith in the day and time that we live in. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11 says that all these things, talking about the things in the Old Testament, they happened to them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Now, we've already seen, as we've walked through Hebrews 11, that really four periods of time in the history of Israel are covered. And during the first period that's covered in verses 4 through verse number 7 is what we know from study of our doctrine as the antediluvian time period. That is the time before the flood. So we learned about Abel, we learned about Enoch, and we learned about Noah during that time. And then the next people that we learned from are covered in verse number 8 down through, I believe, verse number 20. And there we learn about the patriarchs, the patriarchal period of Israel's history. We learn from Abraham and from Sarah and from Isaac and from Jacob and from Joseph. And we learned a lot of lessons from their examples of faith. One of the lessons we learned about them predominantly is that they weren't perfect. They had a lot of failures. And yet they were still written in the hall of faith as being men and women who live by faith. I'm glad I don't have to live a perfect life to live a faithful life, because that's not possible as long as we're in human flesh. But a person who lives by faith, when they are doing wrong, they go back to doing what God's told them to do. That's a part of living by faith. Now, the period of Israel's history we're going to get into next is what I like to call the Patriot period. We're going to learn next from Moses and from Joshua and from Rahab. Interesting that she's put in this chapter of Scripture. And we won't get to Joshua and Rahab today. In fact, we probably won't finish Moses here tonight. But I'm looking forward to digging into what God has for us to learn from these people. So let's begin in verse number 23 this evening. And if you're there with me, say amen. All right, all two of you, fantastic. Verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians essaying to do were drowned. And here we have the record of faith from the life of one of my favorite characters, in fact, is my favorite character besides the Lord Jesus himself in all the Bible. I love Moses. I just always have loved Moses. I think all of us have our favorite Bible characters. How many of you are with Moses like me? All right. Thank you, Hattie. All right. And Miss Mandy, there you go. All right. A lot of people like a lot of different people for different reasons, but I've just always enjoyed studying the life of Moses. And I think the Lord has a lot he wants to teach us from this hero of the faith. And so, what does God want us to take from the example Moses set for us and teach us about how we can put our faith into action? That's what I want you to think about as we approach this text of Scripture. And we're going to learn, again, how to put our faith into action from this hero of the faith. Let's pray together, and we'll dig into this tonight. Lord, we come before you. We pray for you to, we ask you to speak to our hearts. I pray you'd open our understanding, as only your Spirit can do, to the Scriptures. And I pray that you'd not just give us a knowledge of your word, but give us wisdom, the ability to understand how to put it into practice ourselves. And I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The life of Moses and of his parents that we just read about here in the Scripture, they demonstrate to us what a surrendered faith is supposed to look like. Already as we've marched through this chapter of Scripture, we've discovered different angles of faith. From Abel, we discovered a worshiping faith. From Enoch, we discovered a walking faith. From Noah, we discovered a witnessing faith. And from Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, we learned about a waiting faith, a faith that's willing to wait. But from Moses, I want you to note down first tonight, we're going to learn a fifth truth about faith, and we are going to learn about a willing faith. That is a surrendered faith. And it's not just Moses, it's his parents that we see this willing faith, a faith that is surrendered to do what God tells it to do, what God's word says, no matter the consequences. That is the type of faith we see demonstrated from the life of Moses. Now, if you think about who this book of the Bible was written to, Hebrew believers. The Hebrew believers had been raised up to essentially believe in a system of works. Be good enough. Do all the ceremonies, sacrifices, and rituals. Keep the law, and then you'll be accepted by God. That's what they were told, especially in that latter part of Israel's history with the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. It was very much a works-based ideology. But now in the book of Hebrews, they were being told that there was something new and better for them. And that's what we've been covering as we walk through this whole book of the Bible. Jesus is better. He is what the ceremonies and rituals and sacrifices pointed to. They were all fulfilled in Jesus. And he's completed the work. You don't have to keep up offering sacrifices for your sin. He offered a once-for-all sacrifice. And we've covered these things in the book of Hebrews. And this was new to them. This was shocking to them. They were being told, you can walk away from that old religion now, because Jesus has made it the old covenant. There's a new one now, a better one. And imagine being in their shoes. Can you imagine? Obviously, this isn't going to happen, but can you imagine if somebody came in here and started saying, well, what you used to believe is not true anymore. There's something new you're supposed to believe. I don't know about you, but somebody came in here and told me that, I'd say, get out of here, buddy. And it's not too dissimilar from that, albeit they were being told this by the very word of God himself. God's not going to change his mind. He's already finished the work, and we know that's not going to happen in our day and time, but this is very similar to what these Hebrews were going through in this time period, and they were told to forget the law, to abandon the old ceremonies, that they didn't have to do all the sacrifices and all the ceremonies anymore because they all pointed to Jesus, and they were told this because they were all just symbols pointing to their need for salvation by grace through Jesus Christ. And so they were going through all of these things, and you would think that if there was anybody who would be the model representative of legalism, that it would be Moses. I mean, he's the guy that God used to write the law. They even call it in the Bible Moses' law, or the law of Moses. And so you'd think if there's anybody that demonstrated how to be saved by keeping the law, it was Moses. But even from the life of Moses, we're going to discover that Moses did not live finding his righteousness by the keeping of the law, but through faith. He was a man who lived by faith and through faith, and we see it demonstrated time and time again. And his faith was demonstrated, as we see from the account of Scripture we just read here. His faith was primarily demonstrated through his willingness to choose to trust God every time against all odds. And I want to say to you here this evening that the faith in action we see from the life of Moses teaches us something about how you and I are supposed to live by faith as well. And let me see if I could demonstrate this to you before we get into the Scripture here. Every day of your life, you and I make choices. Choices are a part of life. The choices we have to make are inescapable. To not make the choice is a choice. I understand. Every day we're faced with a series of choices, and life is filled with either bad choices or good choices. John MacArthur, he said, every circumstance in life is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to make the right choice. And I tell you, that's true. And every day we're faced with making choices, either by faith or by our feelings or flesh. And you can't deny that there is that battle that happens every day. Galatians chapter 5 talks about this battle that takes place between wanting to act in by your feelings or your flesh or to live by faith. You can't escape the fact that there are choices every day that you are supposed to make. So if you are choosing to live by faith, that choice will lead you to go God's way. But if you are choosing to live by the whims of your flesh or your feelings, it'll lead you astray from God's way and eventually to a place you don't want to go. We see this choice between God's way or man's way, between faith and flesh, all throughout Scripture. In Joshua chapter 24, Joshua stood before the people of Israel as he was becoming older and he was about to pass off the scene, and he presented them with this choice. He said in Joshua 24 and verse 15, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve." He went on to say, "But as for me and my house, we will what? Serve the Lord." Joshua said, "I've made my choice. I'm going to live by faith. I'm going to serve the Lord." This choice was given to Israel in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 32. Choose life or choose death is what they were told. Choose God's way or your own way. He relates it to life and death. Again, in 1 Kings chapter 18, Elijah the prophet stood on Mount Carmel and gave the people of Israel the choice again. And Elijah said in 1 Kings 18:21, when he came to all the people and said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." He said, "You're going to have to choose who you're going to serve. You're going to have to choose to live by your own opinions, by your flesh, by your own desires, or to live by faith in the Word of God." And so this choice has been presented to the people of God throughout history. And it's still a choice that you and I make every day. True faith is demonstrated then by the choices it makes. That's what true faith is most demonstrated by. Moses and his parents demonstrated a true willing faith through their choices to believe God's word against the currents of their time. And I say this to you this evening, the sincerity of your faith is proven through the daily choices you make. To put it another way, I think a wise man once said this, belief determines behavior. In other words, you will do what you truly believe. I've heard people say, "Well, I'm not afraid of the things that are going on in our day and time." They spend all day glued to that TV trying to think that maybe something will change their anxieties. All right? "I'm not afraid of the coronavirus." Well, sometimes by their actions, they demonstrate they might be a little bit afraid of it. All right? There's all kinds of illustrations we could give to that, but what you do shows more about what you believe than what you say. There's no doubt about it. And so the choices we make on a day-to-day basis, they are the things that define the sincerity of our faith. And so as we look at the life of Moses here, and we're only going to look at the first part of this here tonight, but from the life of Moses, I want you to notice with me, first of all, this week, what a surrendered faith, what a willing faith chooses to reject. Now, next week, we're going to look at what it chooses to accept. But this week, we're going to look at the five things from the life of Moses that a willing faith chooses to reject. And I want you to note this first one down with me, okay? A willing faith chooses to reject the world's power. It chooses to reject the world's power. Now, look at verse number 21 with me tonight. If you're still with me, say amen. The Bible says, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandments." Moses' parents, Jochebed and Amram were their names. And I told Emily, we name all of our kids with HJs, all right? Hattie Jane, Hazel June, Hazel Jean, Holly June. I'm getting it mixed up already. And so I told her we need to use Jochebed for the middle name. She didn't like that idea. But it's because I was studying this. I love them. Moses' parents demonstrated a faith, and that faith was demonstrated through their willingness to make a choice to do something against the most powerful government in the known world at that point in time. They defied a mandate from the most powerful ruler in the world against the very threat of death. You think about that story. Exodus chapter 2 tells us the story of how Moses' life was preserved. And we don't have time to go back there to that story here tonight. But what we find is that Moses' parents chose to reject the threat of the most powerful government in the world and to trust in the word of their most powerful God. And really, when you think about it, it wasn't a hard choice. Their God was bigger than any governor ever has been. But you think about the practical side of it, it was a heavy choice to make. John Phillips said, their faith drove out their fears. Their eyes were on a greater king than Pharaoh. And boy, we need that message in the time we're living in today too. Their eyes were on a greater king. And oh, that we would have those kinds of eyes. And so they were willing to stand by faith against an unbiblical mandate of man. And God rewarded their faith, didn't he? Many of you will know the story. But they saw Moses born, and the Bible says they saw he was a proper child. That means they saw he was a beautiful child, okay? It doesn't mean that it's not. We'll talk about this more in a minute. Every parent thinks their child is beautiful, okay? Now, I can say that. When my kids were born, but I'm sorry. When your kids are born and you bring them to me, they look deformed. They look all squished up. They're ugly, okay? Newborns are ugly, all right? Can I get an amen? I'm just kidding. Don't do that. But there's just... It wasn't just because they thought, oh, this is a pretty child. It's not like if the child was ugly, they're going to say, oh, throw him in the river. Okay? That's not what it's talking about. They saw he was a child that God had a special purpose for his life. That's the idea indicated through the word beautiful. We'll get more to that in a minute. But the Bible tells us that they practiced faith because the Pharaoh of Egypt had commanded that because all the Hebrew people were multiplying so much that all of the boy Hebrew children be killed, all of them. And Moses' parents had a decision to make when their son was born. They could see God had a special purpose for this child, and they decided to do something to stand against the unbiblical mandate of Pharaoh. And God rewarded their faith. You know the story. By faith, they put Moses into an ark, which is very similar in the type that Noah's ark was. Oftentimes, people call the ark Moses' ark because of this. Anybody ever done that to you? All right, that's just me, okay? But they put Moses in this ark, and they sent him down the river. And as Moses went down the river, lo and behold, who did he run into? Pharaoh's daughter. She's going out to take a bath. Pharaoh's daughter saw this little ark, heard this baby crying, and went out and grabbed it and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. And she loved him. And the Bible tells us in Exodus chapter number 2 that she called one of the young Hebrew maidens. Now, that was Moses' sister, Miriam. Miriam had been told by her parents to follow that ark and make sure that it got safely somewhere. And wouldn't you know, they called Miriam over and said, do you know any of the Hebrew women that could take care of this baby for me? And Miriam said, I know just the person. She went and got her mama. And they got to raise their son. Some say it was just for the first couple of months. I tend to believe, from what I've studied, it was for the first several years, or the first 5 to 10 years of his life, they got to spend with their son. And during those years, they got to pour into their boy, whom they didn't get a name. Pharaoh's daughter named him Moses, because I took him out of the water. But they got to teach their son the word of God in those most foundational and fundamental years of their life. They got to teach him, Moses, God has a special purpose for your life. Many of the other Hebrew boys were killed, but God spared your life. He has a special purpose for your life. They got to pour those things into Moses. And I love, as a parent, learning from the faith of these Moses' parents who were willing to stand against the greatest power that existed in that world from a human standpoint during their time. And they chose to reject the world's power. And I say to you this evening that if you're going to live with a surrendered faith to the Lord, if you're going to live with a willing faith, you are going to have to be willing to follow God's word even when it goes against the grain of what the powers that be might say you should be doing. That's the type of faith Moses' parents demonstrated, and I believe to put our faith into action, that's exactly the type of faith that God is calling us to practice as well. Hey, you know what that means? That means when the government comes out and gives us an unbiblical mandate, we ought to be willing as the people of God to stand for what is right. So when the government told us we couldn't go to church anymore, guess what? We started going back to church. And that's not going to change. Hey, if the government says, well, you can't teach your kids at home, well, you can't teach your kids in a Christian school anymore, guess what we're going to do? We're going to teach our kids the way God tells us to. Listen, I'm not for rebellion against the government just for the sake of rebellion, but when government tells me to do something that goes against what God has told me to do, even if there is a threat of punishment for standing against it, I'm going to do what God tells me to do every time. Like Brother Ken pointed me to this, but John MacArthur is a pastor out in California, and they have been persecuting their church in California for just having services. They've been fining him every week and threatening to throw John MacArthur in prison. And I watched a video Brother Ken told me about when he was there was a reporter talking to him about this, and he said, you know, there is only one ministry in all my years, 80 plus years of life, that I've never been able to be a part of, and it's the prison ministry. And so if they put me in prison, I guess it's my chance to do prison preaching. And I just love that. I love that faith. I love that willingness to be able to say, you know what? Doesn't matter what happens to me. I'm going to choose to reject what you are threatening with and go with what God's told me to do. Psalm chapter 56 and verse number 11 says, In God have I put my trust, I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. And boy, that's the type of faith we're talking about here. It's a willing faith, a faith that is willing to choose to reject the world's power. But number two, I want you to write down that this is a faith that is willing to reject the world's prestige. A willing faith is a faith that's willing to reject the world's prestige. The Bible tells us in verse number 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, he refused. That's a Greek word that means to deny something or to disregard one's own interest in something. He chose to refuse to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, Moses, as we've just learned, he had spent the early years of his life with his birth parents. He had been raised, if we could put it this way, in a Christian home. He'd got a good foundation as a young man for his life. But at some point, he had been taken from that Hebrew home, and he had been placed into the very palace in Egypt. He had become a prince of Egypt. And as a prince of Egypt, that came with all the privileges. That came with all the prestige. There was one person I was reading that it was explaining some of Egyptian culture, and they even went so far as to say it would not have been out of this world for Moses to be led to believe that if those who were in front of him perished, he could have become the very next Pharaoh of Egypt. You say, well, that couldn't happen for a Hebrew. The Egyptians hated Hebrews. Well, Joseph became the second in command in Egypt, didn't he? He was a Hebrew. It could have been. And I'm sure all these things could have went through Moses' mind. I don't know if they did or not. But there certainly was a major element of prestige that Moses was presented with from a worldly perspective. But Moses made the choice to reject all of that. The Bible says again that when he was come to years, he refused. He denied to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And I'm going to tell you something. That was an act of faith. You know why? Because if we're speaking humanly here, I'm going to take what I can get. I mean, I've got this notoriety. I've got this prestige. I've got this, hey, I'm never going to want for a thing the rest of my life. I'm in a position of prestige. I'm in a position where I'm not going to need anything else for the rest of my life. That's the practical decision to make. If you're using common sense as a human being, then I'm going to stay with what I got. But that's not what Moses did. He chose to go against the grain to do what God was leading him to do. One person said he exchanged what he had for what he didn't have. And that was an act of faith. And I say to you this evening, that's what true faith looks like. It rejects what the world has to offer, and it accepts what heaven promises. All throughout the Bible, we are compelled to live with this kind of faith. The Bible tells us the disciples demonstrated this kind of faith in Matthew 19 when they said, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. They left all their worldly goods to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus compelled us as disciples to make this same kind of choice. Matthew 16 and verse 24, it says, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." And so if you're going to live with a willing faith is a faith that chooses to reject the world's prestige. I don't need what the world has to offer me. I've got something better in following Jesus Christ. And by the way, the whole book of Hebrews, we've learned how much better Jesus really is. And here we're being challenged to exercise a willing faith to say no to the world, what the world has to offer, and yes to Jesus every time. So in 1 John chapter 2, the Apostle John challenged us and said, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." It goes on to say, because the world is going to pass away and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God is going to abide forever. And so we're challenged not to love the world, to reject the things the world has to offer for us. You know, there are sometimes that job promotion, that job opportunity, a worldly opportunity, is not the right choice to make. You say, "Well, it's going to be more money. It's going to be more this. It's going to be more that." Hey, if it's not of faith, it's sin. There's sometimes God will lead you to do something that doesn't make sense from a human standpoint. I was talking to a pastor. I went out hunting with him actually on Saturday. Pastored at a church Missouri for several years. And 18 years, he's been senior pastor of this church. And God has led him to leave that stable position as a pastor and to go be a missionary. But not just a missionary in the Middle East. And I listened to this pastor of 18 years talk about this. Hey, if he's living by his feelings, by his flesh, he's going to stay as a pastor in Missouri, where everything's honky-dory, okay? But he's listening to what God's calling him to do, to be a missionary. It took some faith to make a choice. That's what a willing faith looks like. That's the kind of faith God calls us to make, okay? And we see it demonstrated for Moses and many other people. And so this is a faith that is willing to deny itself, to deny all it possesses or could possess, and put itself in the hands of God. It reminds me of the missionary Jim Elliot, who was noted for saying, who gave his life as a martyr on the mission field, mind you, trying to reach an unevangelized people group who were cannibals, and died, gave his life for the cause that God had called him for. And this is a statement that he said he's most known for. He said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. That's the type of choice that faith makes. It is a willing faith, and this willing faith is demonstrated by what it chooses to reject. It chooses to reject the world's power. It chooses to reject the world's prestige. And I'll cover one more of these tonight for the time that we have. But a willing faith also chooses to reject the world's pleasure. Chooses to reject the world's pleasures. Verse number 25. You still with me? Say amen. The Bible says in verse 25, "Choosing or preferring rather, or more willingly, to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season." Hey, Moses was a prince of Egypt. He could have chosen to take advantage of all the enjoyment that brought to him for the rest of his life. As a prince in Egypt, you could imagine that all the pleasures in the known world were available to him. Anything he wanted to do, he probably could have done that was available in that day and time. As a prince of Egypt, there have been plenty of opportunities to just enjoy life, to just have life the way that he wanted. There was no vice that would have been held back from him. There was no entertainment that would have been held back from him. There was no pleasure of this world that would not have been available to him in the position that he found himself in as a prince of Egypt. But we see here that he willingly chose to suffer with God's people rather to enjoy the temporal satisfaction that this world had to offer him. And so in that sense, Moses made a choice of faith to trade temporary enjoyment for eternal joy. And that really is what he traded. The temporary enjoyment of what he could have in the here and now for the eternal joy that awaited him in eternity for choosing to follow Christ. That was the decision of faith that he made, and you make no mistake about it. Hey, there is pleasure in sin for a season. And this is the passage of Scripture where we're told that there in verse number 25, he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And there is pleasure in sin for a season. There are things that are sinful that feel good to do for us as human beings. Now, they aren't good, but they feel good. And I don't think any of us can deny that. And Moses made a choice here to deny all of that temporary pleasure he could have had to do what God had called him to do. And there is pleasure in sin for a season, but what I've found out about seasons is that they always come to an end. We're about at the end of fall right now. And when the snow comes tonight, it'll really feel like winter then. It's not even officially winter yet. I'm not complaining because we need it, okay? But seasons come to an end. There are plenty of people that have walked the road of pleasure in sin, and they found that it comes to an end. And the end result in dabbling with sin is always devastating. It's always devastating. In the end, the punishment of sinful living is far worse than the pleasures of it. C.T. Studd, he once made the statement, sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. That's what sin will do. You can say, I just enjoy doing it. Well, a guy that smokes a cigarette enjoys doing it until it takes his life. Guy that cheats on his spouse enjoys doing it until it ruins his family, wrecks his life. There might be pleasure in sin for a season, but it's never worth it. Moses could have had any pleasure he wanted to. I don't know what Moses' besetting sin was, but he could have had it, whatever it was. But he made a choice of faith to reject the world's pleasures and chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Job chapter 20 and verse 5, it informs us that the triumphing of the wicked is short and the joy of the hypocrite is but for a moment. The wicked people, they'll enjoy their triumph for a moment. And those hypocrites, they'll enjoy it for a moment, but their time is short to enjoy things. You and I, while we might deny some pleasures we could have in this world, when we choose to live by faith, we are choosing rather eternal joy. Something that is eternal and lasting, and that and the psalmist said in Psalm 16:11, thou wilt show me the path of life, and thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Pleasures forevermore. That's at the right hand of God. And you'll never go wrong choosing God's way, even if it goes against what your flesh wants. Even if it goes against what your feelings want. My dad taught me this lesson when I was very young. I remember he'd often come home and talk about work, and especially as he was growing in his faith, my dad always brought his Bible to work. And you look at my dad's Bible, that thing is marked up. There's lines all over the place. There's highlights. There's papers tucked in there of sermons that he's written or sermon notes that he's taken. He taught me to have a love for the Bible. And he'd bring that to work, and Dad would pray at work. He'd study his Bible. He still does do it at work. And because he did that, boy, there wasn't really anybody else that probably did that. And a lot of the guys he worked with on his crew, they'd give him a hard time about it. I mean, he had all kinds of nicknames, and I don't remember what all of them were, but they'd call him the Bible thumper, and they'd mock him for his faith and do all of those things. And when he was younger, as he began to get older, it's funny because as he began to get older, those same guys that used to mock him would be the guys that would come back and say, will you pray for me? It's funny how that changed over time. But when he first started in the job, they just gave him a hard time because of his faith. And I remember my dad telling me about one of those circumstances one time, and the statement that he said to me, I'll never forget. He said, you know what I told him, son? He said, I told him, keep it up, boys. You're just racking up points in heaven for me. I never forgot that statement. Keep it up, boys. You're just racking up points in heaven for me. What was he doing? He's making a choice of faith. Choice to suffer affliction with the people of God instead of enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season. Because he could have kept his faith quiet. He could have just jumped in on the dirty jokes and the inappropriate talk and all the things those guys were doing, but he made a choice of faith in his workplace. And that's what I'm talking about. Hey, putting our faith into action means we're going to choose to reject some things. We're going to choose to reject the world's power. We're going to believe God over the word and threatenings of man. We're going to choose to reject the world's prestige. Okay? I'd rather be accepted in the sight of God than the sight of man. You're going to choose to reject the world's pleasures, because we know eternal pleasure is found in following our faith in the Word of God. Now, there's a lot more that the Lord has us to discover in this passage of Scripture. We're out of time here for tonight. But let me ask you, when it comes to your faith, do you have a willing faith? A faith that is willing to choose God's way over your flesh, over what the world tells you you're supposed to do, over your feelings even, over your fears? Do you have a willing faith to trust God against all of those other things? True faith is demonstrated by the choices it makes. So by the choices you're making in your workplace, by the choices you're making in your home, by the choices you're making in your personal life, are you demonstrating a true faith? It's a great question for us to consider. And God is challenging us to give our trust to Him, to put our faith in Him with those daily choices He gives us to make. This I say then, Galatians 5:16 says, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. The Bible says if you'll choose to walk by what the Spirit of God working through His Word tells you to do, you'll live in victory as a child of God. You walk according to the whims of your flesh, you'll walk in defeat. And so your daily choices are what it comes down to. And would you be willing to exercise faith at your workplace tomorrow? Would you be willing to exercise faith in your marriage with your children? And there's so many applications we could give, but I got to wrap this up tonight. Do you have a faith that is willing to go with the Word of God?